everyone. Welcome back to Sister Brunch with me, Anya Adams, and my awesome co-host, Fanchon Cox. If you haven't heard us before, we talk to Black Women Plus working in media, entertainment, and the arts. And on this episode, we're talking to the fabulous Bola Ogun. She's a first-generation Nigerian-American writer, director, and producer who made her directorial television debut last year on Ava DuVernay's Queen Sugar. Since then, she's directed other shows like Legacies, God Friended Me, Lucifer, and Siren. You'll hear how she landed those shows during our conversation coming up. She's participated in several training programs like AFI's Directing Workshop for Women. She was in the inaugural class of Ryan Murphy's Half Television Mentorship Program. She was a part of the Warner Brothers Directors Workshop and Robert Rodriguez's docuseries Rebel Without a Crew. One of her short films, Are We Good Parents, premiered at South by Southwest in 2018, which is an amazing feat. Fanchon and our EP Christabel and I talked to Bola last year in my apartment, just before her Queen Sugar directing debut aired. We talked about her life as a PA and how she found and created opportunities that got her where she is today. We're going to kick off the conversation with Fanchon asking Bola, what drew her to Hollywood in the first place?
I would love to hear just generally, what was the catalyst for you becoming a director at all?
Yeah, it started with, I moved out here to act. I was a performer through, as a young kid, through elementary, middle school, all those things, and was in high school plays. And I moved out here to act, but I started being a PA while I was in Dallas. That's where I'm born and raised, in Dallas. And I started PAing on Prison Break and Friday Night Lights. Then I decided to finally make the jump. And then I just kept working as a PA and realized, like, oh, I'm not doing anything creative. I'm just working.
So you were a PA on these shows, mm-hmm. to act? Like, you were like,
well,
I want to...
I remember thinking, like, because all you hear is it's all about who you know, right?
Right.
Like, before you get to LA, you just hear it's all about who you know. And I was like, I don't know anybody. So
yeah.
I better get to know it, you know? And I just
rule number one, get to know people.
Yes.
Okay.
And so and I
actually,
just figured
can
doing
we step back
PA.
Also
oh,
and
yeah.
talk about, because I think a lot of people don't even necessarily know how to become a PA. Like, how did you do that?
It was right before... like Craigslist was just starting.
Oh my God, you're so old.
What?
Yeah, and I went onto the Texas Commission Film Commission website, and I started making phone calls. I just was like 2 weeks in a row, just calling every day, all day, just trying to get. Because I heard Prison Break for their second season was coming to Dallas, so I was just trying to figure out how to get on that.
Yeah.
And sure. One of the calls, and everybody was very nice. Texas, everybody was very,
yeah.
Aren't you sweet? And there was one number that I got that I kept calling, and it actually ended up being the production office for Walking Tall 2 and 3.
Oh my God. Yeah. Did those ever transpire?
Yeah, they're on DVD.
Oh,
very,
no way.
Like, or VHS, you know, I don't know.
Walking Tall was like a movie. Started The Rock for the first one, right?
The Rock. Oh. The ones that I worked on starred Kevin Sorbo.
Right.
Hercules.
A little bit lesser
Hercules,
in there.
Hercules. And, you know, it was very exciting because I was getting to work with Hercules.
Uh-huh.
But I called that office a couple times just looking for a specific person that I was told could help me get on Prison Break. So I kept calling back, and there I was like, oh, he's on set. And this is when I was like, on set sounded like glamorous.
So amazing.
I'm like,
ooh. I can't wait.
And so I called, I think it was like the fourth time I'd called, and they were like, hey, so you've called here a couple times and you seem really cool. We need a runner. Do you want to come and work for us?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yes, got in my car, drove way out, you know, 45 minutes outside
oh
of town, went to the production office and became an office intern PA for them, basically.
So persistence number two, right?
100%. And like, yeah. I think that is like a testament to your career overall, which we're going to talk about today anyway, but just like, you can't give up.
Yep. Yeah. Stick to it.
Yeah. Just
sure.
kept going. Find your way in, yeah. And I did. I found my way in. And luckily, because Dallas is such a small market, everybody knows everybody. And when Prison Break did come into town and Walking Tall was done, a lot of people went from that show to Prison Break. So
okay.
I ended up going there anyway,
yes.
because of all
yes.
my connections from that show. And then I started working on Friday Night Lights. I drive down to Austin, you know, the 3 hours or whatever to work for a couple of days. And it was actually the best thing because I met Sean Pipkin, and that was the best decision I made because I met Sean, she's really cool, and
another black female,
which was a huge part of it.
Were you one of the only black women on
set? Oh yeah,
absolutely. Jobs. Yeah. Okay, but
I think there was like one other black guy who was another PA, but there I remember it being
very white,
monochromatic, as they would say. Uh-huh. And so going to the Friday Night Lights set and seeing Sean, and I think her seeing me, and that I was sort of, that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is the whole, I think it was Spielberg who got dinged for this, the idea of, I gave Colin Trevorrow this job because he reminded me of me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people felt a certain type of way. They're like, you're closing the doors to other people who don't look exactly like you. Mm-hmm. And that is an advantage I don't think people realize is real. Like when people see someone else reminds them of themselves, it makes you want to help. It is not a bad thing. It is not... Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it is a bad thing when it's a white man. Y'all got you. There are
it's
plenty
unconscious,
of you.
Yeah.
I think that it needs to be more of you look like me and I don't see a lot of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to help you because you look like me. And we need to see more of you out here, you know?
It's an unconscious bias for sure. And as long as people are aware of that, I think that they're starting to. Because I have a lot of my mentors now in my career are white men. They do it specifically for that reason. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't need you to look like me to understand that you are like me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the people, the men who I have in my lives now very much understand that mm-hmm. and are the reason I've booked two more shows.
Awesome.
So,
and yet they don't get a cookie for doing what they should have been.
No.
But it is still great. Because
she's the hard ass.
While, while they are in power, this is exactly what we need them to do, right?
Yeah. But yeah, Sean is the reason when I moved out to LA, and I, of course, didn't know anybody. I had like four contacts, and Sean was one of them. And the first show I worked on was Get Smart, with the first movie, Get Smart.
That's amazing. Do you think, like, I read a book before I moved to LA that said, like, get as much experience as you can before you come to LA so that when you come to LA, you're like really in the game versus just moving to LA or moving to New York or moving to Toronto or wherever the, you know, hub is for you and trying to make your way. What do you think about that?
Well, because I started in I agree with that because a lot of people just move and don't have any contacts. Yeah. I think if you start somewhere else, the market is a little smaller and there's more opportunity, especially the thing that's happened now is LA used to have so many big movies. Like that's sort of what really helped me get more jobs is I was working on, you know, He's Just Nothing Into You. Like that was a movie, Hancock or whatever, like all these big movies and they're not really here anymore.
Yeah.
So that means that there are less PA opportunities to get in. You know, now people only have three or four PAs, if that, and you want those to be experienced PAs. The thing about having like 10, 15 PAs, because you need to lock up this whole street, is you get to now bring in less experienced people who then get to expand their circle and their network by meeting all these other folks.
Hi, it's Anya, and you're listening to Sister Brunch. We'll be right back.
Join our community. You can join us on Twitter at Sister Brunch and also on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. Welcome back to Sister Brunch. I'm Fanshan, and now back to our conversation. You had to really work your ass off on these sets, right? Like you, because you were a black woman, you probably had to kind of work differently, let's say. than the other folks on set. Do you want to talk about, I mean, because that, otherwise you wouldn't have been able to keep getting hired.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. I think I did have to work really hard because, I mean, it's just, being a PA just is so much harder than people think it is, in general. And then on top of that, you're just trying to make sure that people don't think, although I gotta say, I think it worked for me being like, I'm energetic and happy, but also like, I'll have a tone of like, you know, we need to get this done. Cause you're the lowest on the totem pole, but yet you have to tell everybody what to do. So you very much have to have a presence that leads for you and
commands respect. Yes. And it's something that I definitely take as a director now, that I don't really have to work that hard. I like have to, if anything, I have to work harder just to make sure people understand I'm not angry. Like, it's the angry black woman thing, right?
Oh,
it's
my
like
God.
You're trying to sort of gas pedal and, you know, gas stop. It's sort of, you're balancing that act of how do I get my point across, but also be nice about it. Like, this is just a weird thing.
I know.
That's a really tough thing I find. And I mean, for you, I'm sure, and I've experienced it too, like really assessing your like audience, your and your tribe or whatever, the group of people you're working with, and figuring out like, how do I mediate myself so I'm not intimidating as a black woman, but also a leader, like can lead them. It's like, it's tough.
It is. It is. And it's a balancing act that gets easier. And I think I got, being a part of the production department, as you know, as well, Anya, is you have to do it every day. And so you, I do think I have an advantage on my career as a director because I had to do it already in the department. So
talk about that. What department were you in? Like, you mean beyond? So
being in the production department, right. Being a PA, and then, you know, occasionally getting non-union jobs as an AD, working on that, you know, really having to work through tough situations and make sure that we make our days, that we, you know, the director's happy, that everybody's, you know, it's a balancing. That department is so interesting because everybody else gets to focus on their one thing that their department has to deal with.
Right.
You know, camera only worries about camera. Hair and makeup only worry about hair and makeup. Right. Costumes only worries about costumes. Production has to know everybody, know everything, and know how to talk to people, know how to translate what someone else is saying very angrily and still get it done. You know, you're sort of this filter that has to happen. I can't tell you how many times somebody's like, you know, locations needs to get light here now. Like, why isn't it already up? And I'm like, all right, I'll take care of it. Locations, we would really love a light over here. This would be great. Thank you so much. Yeah. Really appreciate it. You sort of have to like take in what people say and just, you know, blah, 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 make it better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting journey. And as a PA, I saw that even if I had an agent or a manager, as a dark skinned woman, the parts just weren't there. And
as an actress,
cool, because it's why I moved here. And so I just noticed that, and it was really difficult. And luckily for like the rise of like Issa Rae, Lena Dunham, for, you know, all the things that come with Lena Dunham, I will say that like what I did get inspired to do is I needed to make my own work. I needed to make something if I wanted to start being a creator. And so I decided to make something. I decided to write a script. I'd heard of the directing workshop for women at AFI. AFI is the American Film Institute. It's a prestigious film school. And this program, you know, it was doing well-ish at the time, but there also wasn't this huge push for women directors. So I think that on top of, you know, Patty West was the program director when I got in. I wrote a script. I luckily got in. It's very difficult, very competitive.
Go ahead. Well, you got in with the first script.
Yeah.
What was the name of the script?
It was originally titled Sea Beneath the Surface, and it turned into The Water Phoenix throughout the, like, molding it, you know, going through the program, trying to find the story, trying to make it clear, all those things.
Can people can watch that one now, right?
Tell us
where we can watch it.
Wait, before you do, I just want to ask you. So you said you decided to create your own content so that you could create parts for yourself, right?
Correct.
So initially you actually were creating this content so that you could act in it.
No, I mean, well, in the program, you're not allowed to act in your own shorts.
Okay.
So it really was bigger than me. It was like, how do I create more parts that I'm not seeing?
Okay.
Yes. I really love sci-fi fantasy stuff. And somehow we're always missing in those stories.
Yeah.
So ironic because you can't even be that creative. Like, you have to stretch beyond what you understand about your reality right now. But that one you can't do.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Really?
I personally love Game of Thrones, but I totally like, it's one of those things.
Oh, no.
It's one of those things.
Absolutely not.
But it's reason why I wanted to do it, because if I make my Game of Thrones, it's going to be more inclusive in what we see in our world every single day. But that's what launched me into this movement. So I wasn't originally going to be in it. I was trying to get like, you know, a top actress or something.
Sure.
And then I kept wondering why I was you know, I'd made this part, or my philosophy as a director was to make parts for dark-skinned women or for people of color in general. And here I was trying to find like a famous white actress to play this mermaid I thought it would be easier to get into film festivals, attention.
Because that's
what you see is like, oh, this film isn't that great, but hey, it's got this famous actor in it. Right, and that's why they get onto this, all the great stuff.
Which is super annoying.
It
film
is.
Film festivals in general.
I do think that it has changed. It's not so much about that. It's about the story. And I learned that through my journey as a filmmaker, is that it's so much more than just what famous people can you attach to it. But I eventually let that go and decided to do it myself because it just would have been easier. It's such a tough role. I think everybody likes the idea of being a mermaid. They don't know how much work goes into it because I got scuba diving lessons. I did free diving lessons. I'm a swimmer already, so I already felt comfortable underwater, and I needed somebody who didn't look like they were holding their breath underwater because that's where this person grew up, you know, everything. And so through the workshop, not only did I gain access to this network of other filmmakers who are just ready to make art, because I was sort of at this point, I'd been in a PA in LA, I think for like 5 years at that point. All my friends are professionals. They're not interested in like working on my no budget film,
right?
You know, no matter how much I beg, I wasn't a person of influence where it was interesting or beneficial to them to come and help. So, being in the film school area with those connections and those networks, it helped me tap into people who were willing to just like create something, which I, to this day, I think is really valuable. I love that program. Of all the programs I've done, it's probably the best.
Good to know.
I was going to say, like, just in a testament to Bola, who's talking, you know, we saw her tenacity at the start of her career. Bola like couch surfed for 2 years to pay for this short film. Yeah. It wasn't like she sacrificed so much. She went to, my dog walker has a pool. We practiced swimming with her tail. Like there was so much work. You convinced the guy from Splash to like create the tail for the short film. Wow. I mean, there was just so much work that went into it and so much sacrifice. Like for me as a filmmaker, I'm so happy about where Bola is now, just seeing like the amount of work that she put in. So I just want to underscore again, like just how important it is to be fully dedicated and the amount of work that it takes to get places. Because even after you did Water Phoenix, it wasn't like, oh my God, here to come direct Queen Sugar. You still had 3 years of, you know, busting your ass.
And I'm really glad you brought that up too, because I think something that's really important to think about is class. And
So
that's why when you know, especially within that, right, within that category of women of color, and that's why I think I was going to actually even go back and ask you in Texas, like, how were you able to PA, like, to live on a PA salary?
Yeah,
and
question.
Then, right? How were you able to
I was living
that?
At home. Like,
okay.
I was 19 when I started PAing. So I was still at home in Dallas, and only when I moved to LA, and even when I first started, because it was still really slow, I was working at Guess. So I would work at Guess on the weekends if I already had a full week of PA work, maybe, you know. So I was working there was a point where I was working 7 days a week.
Wow.
You know, class is absolutely part of it, because the Water Phoenix was an expensive project. You know, I think that's part of the reason why AFI picked me, is because they were interested in sort of doing this underwater, very ambitious short film. And I chose that short film because I wanted to showcase that I could do VFX, that I could do stunts, underwater stuff, like work with kids. Like there are so many times like women get into these fancy film festivals, which typically program like more drama or comedy, just sort of grounded things. They don't really do genre that often. The big ones, the ones that matter.
Yes.
And if you get into those, it's great. But like then they turn around, they go, "Oh, but you can't do genre because that's not what you do." And I'm like, "But that's what I love." So I decided to make my first project that. It took 4 years to finish that project. It took 2 full-blown crowdfunding campaigns, largely run by myself. I got a grant from California Institute of Contemporary Arts, which was great. It basically paid for the aquarium for the day that we shot there.
Great.
But, you know, I put a whole portfolio together for them to look at, to show them that it was worth giving me some help. Yeah. But that was me, you know, emailing, texting. Anybody who's done crowdfunding know it's not easy. It's basically a full-time job.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you have to sort of swallow your pride, beg, ask, you know, barter,
they
everything.
Say you have to ask the same person, I think, something like 12 times before they actually give to your campaign. Yeah. And back over and over. Yeah.
It's really tough. Yeah. It's really, I just talked to another friend who just did it. And it's so funny how people like they are surprised because I think the outside idea is that, you know, you post this up and then people just give you money.
Of course, we love it. Right.
They just like come out of nowhere and they just give you all their money. And that's just not how it works.
Yeah. Hey, it's Fanchon and you're listening to Sister Brunch. We'll be right back.
We're back. Let's get into our conversation with TV director Bola Ogun.
How did you get Queen Sugar?
It's such a loaded question, and I feel that way for every Queen Sugar director because we all don't know.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Kind of. It just sort of, you have, when you make stuff, your stuff, especially around the film festival circuit, I think Ava pays a lot of attention to who's getting into which festivals and or what kind of work you're making and how it connects to people, if it's different, if it's something that we haven't seen before, which if you're a Black woman making stuff, it's probably going to be stuff we've never seen before. And not even just Black women. What I love about what she's doing is that it's not just Black women. You look at the picture of all the directors she's brought in. It is so beautiful. Yeah. It's just like the variety of people there. And, you know, I luckily, Are We Good Parents was my short film. It went to South by Southwest last year.
Let's
that
talk
was the
about
one
that a little bit because we just love that movie so much.
Thank
so
you.
Good.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Was there anything that you realized you had in common? Because you don't know why. So if you're looking
at as the director,
once you were directors, like when you looked at all the other sister directors, were you like, oh, there's something about
So well, this does tie into it. So Are We Good Parents, that was my second short film because I knew after The Water Phoenix I needed to have another thing. People were going to need to see another thing. So I immediately went in, even before we were finished with the VFX of The Water Phoenix, I was already trying to figure out how to do another short. And then I came up with Are We Good Parents, which came out of my relationship with my sister who came out to me over the phone. She was gay and I was sort of surprised that it took her so long. I was like, I don't know why you thought this was weird. And I'm appalled and I'm sad and all these things. And then also I can't make it about me because this is your moment. But also, why did you think I couldn't handle that? So those feelings I put into this short.
Beautifully.
That one got into, you know, the dream festivals. Like it got into South by Southwest, which was amazing. And after that, it got into this AT&T Shape Film Awards. My film got chosen to do that, one of the three films that they would show on stage. And that year's director, they usually choose, you know, a high-profile, prolific director. There was, I think, Catherine Hardwick 1 year, Patty Jenkins 1 year, and last year was Ava DuVernay.
Okay.
So I got to meet her for the first time
and she saw
Are We Good Parents there. Now, I didn't think I would get a chance on Queen Sugar because there is a commonality between the other directors for Queen Sugar. They all have these fancy films, feature films that went into, that did the festival circuit.
Yes.
So she sort of just picked them back up or plucked them to do Queen Sugar. And I think she liked Are We Good Parents enough to be like, this is your chance.
She did.
But it's all her.
This is the beautiful thing about what she's doing, right? That in these other programs, somebody would have said, Bola, you can come shadow on, you know, on season two, and maybe we'll hook you up in season three. I'm hiring you. Yes. You don't have to follow anybody. And that is off of a short film. And I just think that's amazing and such a model for how it has to happen.
Totally.
Right? By the way, how they do it. Like white men get hired off of less, much less, right?
You took the words right out of my mouth. Her philosophy is if the white boys can do it, basically. Yeah, basically. Like, if it happens to the white boys, then yes, it can happen to us. Yep. And it should happen to us. And that's how she operates.
Yes. So you get your first, like, network television show, and then, like, the shows just keep coming, right? You just, like, now you're in it?
What else you got?
Like, well, like, I mean, I think I'm saying this sarcastically, because I think that that's a misconception. Exactly. Is, like, exactly. People are like, oh, you break in, you got one episode, yeah. So you're going to get hired by everyone.
And it just flows working. Through. Right. I got to say, like, I knew, even on my journey to get my first one, I was so eager to get it, because I knew it would take a year before I got the next one.
Right.
Because that is typically, that's what it takes. Yeah. I have so many friends who have gotten the first episode and they haven't gotten a second episode. And the longer in between that, the harder it is. Yes, and it's difficult. There are some Queen Sugar directors who haven't done another episode of a show.
Why do you think you were able to continue? Did you start networking before you even did the Ava show? Or, like, what were you doing? Like, you were working at...
It's Bola. We know.
I know. But I mean, like, what were you doing?
But tell us so that they can be motivated. Because
you kind of got to... It's like Ava's, like, publicist kind of thing. Right. And you're really good at that. Like, that's something I really admire about you, is how you utilize publicity to really move yourself forward in your career. Thank you. Like, talk about that.
Well, I mean, it is... You have to lay down a lot of roots. I think that the reason why one episode is not enough is, you know, they want to know that it's not a fluke. And the hard thing is that a lot of people don't know that Queen Sugar is sort of a one and done situation. It's very rare for a director to repeat unless they're the producing director of that season.
Oh, right? Wow. Okay.
So she's purposely like, you get one and then you need to go off and do one. But then but so many people are wanting to see that you've done two episodes of a show before they feel like comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's all about that's really what it is. It's like trying to get people comfortable and trust you with all their money and their resources. Yeah. And it's very difficult if they don't already know you, which is why so many, you know, DPs, editors, actors on the show that they're already on get a chance, because they already have the trust of the showrunners, because they know the show.
Yeah.
So how does a person who is a filmmaker who wants to get out there and you just keep doing the meetings,
right?
You keep doing the meetings and you keep making your own stuff. I can't tell you how many meetings I got into and they're like, we really like that you make your own stuff. I'm like, what kind of directors are you getting in here?
Right.
And it's people who haven't had to do that
just
route.
Sitting and waiting, you know? For the phone call and they, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So making your own stuff, meeting people.
Which is really, I will just plug our podcast for a second because that's literally the point of Sister Brunch. Yeah. Like, that is literally what you do, Anya, with Sister Brunch, is here's an opportunity to meet people who you can, you know, get together with and work with. Mm-hmm. And you, as you said, with AFI, DWW, like, take advantage of those opportunities and just, and same thing, as I'm in the fortunate position of having people pitch to me as a development executive. And I'm always like, I need to know that you're not desperate for this,
right?
I need to know that you will be fine when you walk out of this office. And that even if I love you and love the material, I'm gonna do everything I can for you. And still, I need to know that you are gonna be good, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you're doing. You're instilling that confidence in, you know, in them about you, because you're walking in like that. It's so awesome.
It's such a mind fuck, isn't it? It's like, it's like dating. Like, you can't let the other person know, I haven't dated in like 2 years.
That's right. That's right. You just gotta be like, I just got off of this amazing ass.
The bummer is they can, like, look up online and be like, oh, you haven't been dating.
Right.
They can look it up.
This is true. It's a different world. And Anya, you said this. Now, Anya, we're going to talk about you real quick, because you admitted that you're a Luddite. And I'm just going to say that, like, because Bola. No, I'm just saying, because Bola, like, her part of, and I absolutely agree, this social, being available on social media, like, and having a presence on social media actually is meaningful.
It is.
Especially
Instagram, Insta stories. Look, folks, if I watch your Insta story and see that you're good at graphics on your Insta story,
right,
good at shooting your Insta story, I'm already like, okay, this person knows what they're doing. Yeah. So I'm just saying, for these young women that are listening, and for those of us who are not as young as the young people listening, my friends, you and me, if you're not on IMDb, but you are active on Twitter, we can see that and read where you're coming from.
Like, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. There's, like, an award that I posted about at the top of the year that I was like, it's some film festival. It's a new one. Nobody's heard of it. The award was pretty cool, though, and I took a picture of it, and I was like, nobody cares about this film festival because it's not a real thing, or it's not, a thing. It's not a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But that got so much attention. I was like shocked. I was like, y'all don't even know what this film festival is, but okay. Yep. Sure. It's just people want to see that you're already doing it.
Yes.
And that's also part of, I will say, like, the biggest and hardest thing that I did throughout my journey that people should know, because it's not easy. There's not the smooth transition for everybody. And I definitely wasn't one of those people. Like, I had to stop. I was Rachel Bloom's assistant on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend for 2 seasons. And I stopped being her assistant because I had to stop being an assistant. I had to make a declaration that I was going to be a filmmaker and that that was what I was going to do.
Yes.
Now, granted, the year I did that was the hardest year because I didn't make a lot of money at all, but I was the most creative because I finished The Water Phoenix.
You were hungry.
I did. Like, exactly. I did Are We Good Parents? I produced 3 projects, including the For Your Consideration for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. They did a music video. I produced that and a Vanity Fair music video and a short film. And then at the end of the year, I did Robert Rodriguez's A Rebel Without a Crew.
Right.
So that year, I was the most creative, but I made the least money that I'd ever made since I moved to LA. But if not for that year, that was 2017. If not for 2017, 2018 would not have been as amazing as it was, because it was just like, bam, bam, bam. Like, I was now making money based off of, like, winning money for, like, AT&T off of my art.
Yep.
And that launched everything.
You're listening to Sister Brunch. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of our conversation with Bola Ogun.
Welcome back to Sister Brunch. I'm Anya Adams. Now let's get back to our conversation.
Okay, let's talk about the one element that we really want to talk about, and that's money.
Yes.
Money. Like, good. When you're a PA, how much do you make? What's a PA rate?
It's not good.
I
did the calculations. I could work at, like, 2 fast food restaurants and make about the same amount of money that I was making in the hours that I was working on set. And what's annoying is, or what's hard is that being on set makes you feel like you're closer to your dreams. You're closer to the job that you want. You're closer to everything. It's just right there. Mm-hmm. But really, it's kind of keeping you away from all that stuff. So I always tell people, do it for a little bit, you know, maybe a year tops, and then leave and do some boring job that doesn't need your mind, and use your mind for your creative stuff.
Cool.
Like that.
Because, and then keep your overhead low. Like, that was the biggest change for me about when I finished couch surfing. I couch surfed for a year while doing the DWW program, trying to finish The Water Phoenix. So I couched her for a year. I didn't have a car for 2 years. And I decided not to get one because I wanted to focus. I didn't want to have to take jobs. Yeah. Anything you can do to make your lifestyle possible to not have to take jobs is the best thing for you. If you can get a cash car that doesn't require payment every month, if you can, you know, be in a house with 6 other people, do it. Like, it's going to be, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because unless you do that, you're not going to move forward in what you want to do.
Yeah.
For PAs, I'll just say you make, I think, the lowest paid that I've gotten that was union, or a union show, was like $125
a day.
So but like a day.
$125 per day.
Yeah.
Yes.
12 hours, if not, you know, to 16 hours of work.
And you really can't negotiate the PA rate. They pay
not
shitty
really.
Rates and-
I think if you're good at, towards the end of my career, I could maybe negotiate a little bit, but you're never going to get more. The highest I got paid was like $155, and that was because I was the only PA on True Blood. And it was the first season.
But actually, that is a really good point. So you did get to a point where you felt comfortable asking for more as a PA-ish. Yeah. I mean, enough to get something, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point, is that it is okay. Once you've proven yourself, that it is okay to ask. It's okay, and it's not abnormal to ask.
Well, at that point, I was basically a low budget, a non-union AD.
Right.
So the people knew when they were hiring me, they weren't just hiring
someone who's going to lock up, that someone who understood paperwork, who knew how to run base camp, which is where all the actors and makeup hair is, or could be on set and take care of background. Like, they could just say, Bola, do this, and you would be able to do it.
Exactly. They didn't have to worry about it.
So you could work your way up to pricing yourself a little higher.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, so now in television, so working in the hour-long space, network says, or like network and streaming are different. So there's like a lower and a higher price, or streaming is a little bit less, right?
And well, yeah, cable's a little bit less. I think that's like around 38-ish, like 40.
For an episode.
Yeah, 40,000 for an episode.
Right.
And then network, so like the CBS, ABC, NBC, those will pay about like close to 50.
Right. And that's a 1 hour show. For a half hour show, it's like 36 an episode.
Yes.
And then you get residuals from that, and like it's a kind of nice. It begins to be nice.
Yes, it begins to be nice. It's funny because it's like my first paycheck really just went to debt. That's all that happened.
So you'll have debt, and then also for the DGA, right?
Like, exactly.
Joining the DGA. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, so were you in the DGA when you did AWOL?
No.
Okay,
I got into the DGA because of Queen Sugar.
Right.
So I did join. I'm in now.
Congratulations!
Yay!
You know, they made really you. Cool.
Yeah.
And, they do offer payment plans. So
DGA does.
Yeah. So you can ask for it. And they can parse it out, but to join is about $12,000 as a director.
That's a lot of effing money.
I'm sorry.
Is this the first time
you didn't know that?
I had no idea. Did you say 12,000? So 12, what do you 000. Get for giving them $12,000?
Well, Anya would know more than I, but I know that the healthcare.
Anya, what the health? You pay for your
healthcare is really good.
That is it. I mean, goodness.
Look at Anya's face.
Like.
Well, here's the thing. Bola had to take that chunk like out of her stump. Like it was 12 grand. Please join. Right. As an AD, I started as a second. Yeah. And when I started for the second entrance, it was 3,000. And then when I became a first, it was, you know, an extra 2,000. And I did it in increments. Right. So when I became a director, I paid $900. So like, you know,
you did still pay all of that.
Yeah, I paid a little less than what hers is because it goes up every year too. But essentially what you're getting is being in the guild, you're open now to do all of these projects that non-union people aren't able to do. Right. So now Bola can say, look, HBO, I'm coming direct for you. And they're like, fine, there's no issue. If you're a non-union director, you need to be in the guild because those are requirements for all the networks and the streaming services for programs that they're implementing. And you do get health insurance, and there's a lot of things that go with it.
Union protection. There's union protection, and that really helps. And again, that's another network place where you talk to people and everybody has conversations about what's going on in our industry. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so what's coming up for you? You're in the Warner Brothers directing program and the director program. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And through the Warner Brothers one, because it's one of the few, it's only that one and the NBC Female Forward that you get an episode of a show if you get in. So I'm doing Legacies in like 2-3 months.
Yeah. Where's Legacies?
It's in Atlanta.
Oh, cool. And then do you have anything else after that?
Yes. Right after Legacies, I'm going to Siren. So, you know, it paid off doing a mermaid short.
Oh, because
now I'm doing
a
mermaid show.
Cool.
So Siren came because that's another thing where you like really plant seeds. Like what I think people have to get used to. I can't reiterate this enough, but you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable because you're just going to become comfortable a lot until things start to happen. I started meeting with Freeform like 3-4 years ago while I was making The Water Phoenix. And I'd heard about them doing this mermaid show. So I got in to talk to, you know, the head of Freeform, who's now the head of ABC.
Yeah.
But that conversation, it was sort of like a meet, you get to know you, general meetings, what they call water bottle tours. You'll hear people say, I went on the water bottle tour, and that's what they're talking about, because they feel like usually you only walk away with a water bottle. That's the joke.
Love it. Okay.
But these meetings are important because what you need to do is you need to meet everybody in the current departments so that they can see who you are, how you are in the room, and they can see your work. That way, when they're staffing shows, somebody brings your name up, they can go, oh, I know that person.
Right.
Like they've met you. it really is just to get them to meet you. And at the moment, it feels like nothing's happening, but really you're setting down seeds and roots that are going to come back later. So that's when now it's easier for either my agent or whomever to pitch me to a show like Siren, because they're like, we already know her, we love her. Literally, I walked out of the room, they're like, well, Freeform loves you, so cool, we've got
right.
You.
Yes. That's so awesome. General. Yeah, some people call that one a general too, yeah, right? General. Like kind of not going in with a specific job in mind, but letting them get to know you. And yes, say yes to the bottle of water, because yes. It's also a water bottle.
Say yes to the water bottle and just say yes to being your, it's such a corny thing, but like be yourself, be your fabulous self, because that's what they're going to remember when you leave the room. Like if they really like being around you, they're going to remember you.
Right. Love it. Thank you. Yay. We love you.
Thank you so much
you're
for
welcome.
Coming.
Yeah, you're amazing. We're so glad that you told your story and that you're inspiring. You will inspire our listeners. So
yes,
amazing. I hope so.
Thank you, Mama.
Keep doing it. Keep going.
Yes. Yeah. Our big thanks to our Sister Brunch sister. That really is how we met her, at Sister Brunch. Well, at least that's how I met her, at Anya's Sister Brunch when she hosted. So thank you again so much to the writer, producer, and director, Bola Ogun, for joining us on Sister Brunch. Go to sisterbrunch.com to find out more about Bola and where you can watch her, all of her great programming that she's had on and her shorts. We'll also have a link to her website there. Thank you for listening to Sister Brunch with Anya Adams and me, Fanchon Cox. We hope you enjoyed the show. And look out for our next episode with Elon Washington. She works at Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw Productions. And Elon is also the founder of Black Film Allegiance. You don't want to miss it. You can follow us on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast to find out kind of what's caught our attention lately. What are we talking about at Sister Brunch? And you can watch our bi-monthly Sister Brunch chats on IG Live. That's where media pros share their tips with us about how to break into the media. And we weigh in on all the current events as well. We're also on Twitter at Sister Brunch, on Facebook, and we're getting up there on our likes. So join the ranks of the likes on Facebook. If you're still on there, we are too. Oh, and hey, please don't forget to subscribe and rate our show wherever you get your podcasts. Our show producer is Brittany Turner, and Christabel Nsiabwadi is our executive producer. See you next time. This show was recorded on land traditionally belonging to the Tongva people.